Who knows how to check in? All right. Very good. We're going to have a class on that later. sorry about that. But if you can check in, that would be great. If you can like it, it would be even better. It helps us to just go up on the Google profile. So when people come in and they hit, you know, church in the local area, ours will be one of the first that will pop up on their page. Amen? Thank you for doing that. And if you can do that every Sunday, that'd be great. That'd be great. Okay, last Sunday, we talked about what? Do you guys remember? Oh, no. Oh. Anybody remember, please? Somebody? White stones. We talked about the Word of God and how we can study it. We can be great students at it, and we can still be mean people. We can still be fleshly people. And that the Word of God is special, not just because you study it, but because you go and you decide to live it. You decide to be different. And so we're ending our study right now, and we'll come back to it, of the Word of God, and we're going to transition. But if I can give you a picture to remember from the last 3 weeks, this is it. So that's a little distorted, but it's two farmers, and they're drinking some water. And one is saying to the other, "Ain't nothing quite so refreshing as the sweet taste of cool, clear, pure water." And it's got a bunch of cows on the other side on the bend. And the reason I say this is because I think we've become a society where we want people to feed us. And we take it in and we think, this is pure. This is great. This is fantastic. We listen to a podcast and we are experts. Right. I've never met so many people who are experts on so many different things. Right. And a lot of, well, they went away. And a lot of it is because we take in from the world. We take in, and I'm not saying they're bad. What I'd like for us to take away from this last 3 weeks is we can study.
Yes, amen.
We can study. We can dig in. Well, obviously, let's listen to the professionals and the experts around us, but let's be the Bereans that go home and we place it into our lives. Listen, this is not a social club. Amen. We really don't want it to be a social club. That's not what we're looking to do. We're looking to be transformative forces in a really messed up world. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking to be lights on a hill. In order to do that, we go to God's Word. We dig in and study. And then we make a decision to go and live it.
Amen?
Amen? Excellent. Fantastic. Okay. Now, last week, I also handed out some white stones. Some people didn't get stones. If you didn't get a stone, raise your hand. Okay, that's more stones than I have right here. So if you didn't get a white stone, see me afterwards. We'll do that later. Amen? We're going to transition to a new study. And this study is, I think, fundamental and really important to the Christian life. Before I share with you the topic, I want to ask you something. If you get to know me, one of the things you'll learn about me is I have a really great imagination, really good imagination. And since I was young, I'd sit there staring out the window because we didn't have anything to play with. And I would sit there staring out the window in the car, and I would imagine being a superhero. I'd imagine saving people. That was my dream. I wanted to go, and I wanted to be a force for good in this world. And so I want to ask you guys, because I think many of us have a similar type of imagination and dream. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Raise your hand. I'll call on you. One superpower. Yes.
Healing.
Just touching them and bam. Healing. That's a great superpower. Kind of looks like you're living that, isn't it? I like that. Yes. Oh, that's a dangerous one. We won't go into the science of that. But yes, science travel. To be able to go back and undo decisions that were made. Yes, Chad.
Fly.
Okay, I got to be honest. This is one of my dreams. I actually, when I fall asleep, I dream of flying. And I wake up and I'm like, maybe I can. You know those first 30 seconds after a dream, you're like, was it real? Maybe I can fly. Yes, sir. Teleportation. That's great. Yes, sir. Super speed. Okay, I think we all have some sort of dream that we wish we could have this power. You know, this power. It was funny, Tyler was sharing. He was saying, you know, he would pray to God to be under 6 feet. I prayed to God to be over 5'5". It's funny how that works. He was sitting here, I'm like, I cannot believe you're wasting good genetics. I can't believe it. But it was great. Tyler, by the way, my father-in-law taught at the Air Force Academy, which is pretty amazing as you were sharing it. But I'd love for you to meet him. Oh, I just went off on a tangent. I'm sorry about that. But we as a church, we as disciples, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, I want to share with you that you have a superpower. And it is amazing. It's an amazing superpower. But before I give you what the superpower is, I want to share with you some biblical truths that the Bible outlines for our world. So the Bible teaches that there are two planes of existence right now. There is a spiritual plane and there is a physical plane. So who lives in the physical plane? Us. Our dogs, cats, animals, trees. We're in the physical plane. Who lives in the spiritual plane? Angels, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit actually lives within us. Demons live in the spiritual realm. And so there's these two realms. And what the Bible says is that when we as Christians make Jesus Lord, we have unfettered access to communicate between those two worlds. It's our superpower. We are able to pray, is what we call it. And call upon the creator of the universe, the one with all the power to act upon a certain situation or be in a certain place. And that's what I want to spend the next 4 weeks studying. I want to talk about prayer and the amazing impact that prayer can have in our lives. And I feel like it's a rather unused tool. Unused superpower in most churches. And so I want to be able to engage with that. So there were two guys. They were studying the Bible. And the one guy goes, hey, listen, I know you're trying to teach me the Bible. I don't think you even know the Bible. Wow. And the guy's like, really? He goes, yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll give you $10 if you can say the Lord's Prayer. Guy goes, absolutely. Absolutely. Easiest $10 I'm ever going to make. He goes, okay, go. Here I lay my head to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The guy goes, wow. Takes out a $10 bill and gives it to him. You got it. I say that in jest. It's an old preacher joke. But I say that in jest because I think so many of us think we know. We think we know. And that's why we started off with Bible study first. We've got to dig into Scripture to really get our hearts rooted into His Word, tied into His will. And then when we start to pray, it's like a fire. It ignites the places that you walk. It transforms the things we touch. It is a superpower. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Let's read. It says, so in Luke, there is a similar text, and in it, it starts off with the apostles. They come to Jesus. The disciples come to Jesus, and they had just watched him pray, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is interesting, because up to this point, they hadn't asked Jesus for a lot. You know, Jesus had healed a leper at this point. He had done all of these things. But what they saw that most impressed them was him praying. They've been around praying people all their lives. But when they saw Jesus pray, they're like, you need to teach us how to do that. you need to teach us. And he starts off, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. So we read this, and we're like, okay, this is great. This is what I'm going to pray every single day. Now, if you read Scripture, you're going to see other prayers within Scripture, within the Bible. In John 14, Jesus has this long prayer. He does not pray these exact words, does he? This really is a template. This really is a structure that prepares our hearts to enter the Holy of Holies. And we need to be able to understand that. We need to be able to see, read the Bible and go, okay, this is a template that God has for us in order to read, in order to be able to learn to pray and to pray well. Okay. In Matthew chapter 6, same chapter, verse 5, I want us to read the prelude to what Jesus says before he prays. Oops. It's not in order. I'll turn here. Matthew 6. Let's turn to 5, verse 8. Matthew 6. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So before Jesus goes into the Lord's Prayer, he makes a statement. He differentiates what bad prayer is, right? That's what he's doing. He's saying this is how you shouldn't do it. And he creates two classes of people, two groups of prayers out there. What is the first class? What is it? The hypocrites. And he's making reference to Jewish followers that pray, and they pray on the street corner, and they pray, and they do their prayers so that the world can see them. And what does that get them? Praise of men. There you go. The praise of men. People go, wow, he is one powerful prayer. Did you hear her words? Amazing. Amazing. So we're going to deal with that next year. We're going to talk about that particular heart set next year. So just remember that, hypocrites. You can be praying. But if you're praying so that other people will hear you, we got issues. God has issues. That doesn't mean you don't pray around other people. But if you're praying for them and not to God, there's a problem. There's a problem. And I think we've all seen this. Have you ever? And I've done this with my children. Say, or something's happening in the family, and I bring the family together. I've got, family, we need to pray. The family goes, yeah, and you know, my children, 7 and 5, they come in and they're holding hands. I'm like, Lord, please help my son to get it. Please. Now, am I praying? No, I'm really lecturing him. I'm really lecturing him under the guise of prayer. Let it be understood right now, God hates that. God does not like that. Stop it. We're doing it. Prayer is intended to be something very different. Something very different. So let's move on to the second person, the second group that Jesus brings out. Who are they? The pagans. Okay, let's stop right there. Pagans. Let's define the word pagans. What would you say a pagan is? Lost? But they're praying. Does that make them lost? Non-Jewish. There we go. Non-Jewish prayers. So this would be the people that are worshiping deities and gods, anyone else. They're all praying. You'll find prayer pretty uniform across the world. Yep. Lots of people are praying because they want this superpower. And so they're praying to their gods. Now listen to what it says with them, because it is really telling, because this, I think, can be a consequence of of just letting prayer be unintentional. It says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. See, pagan prayer is prayer where you believe God will hear you because of what you do or what you don't do, how good you are, or how eloquent you are. And so let's just create this backdrop, because as Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he's saying, this is how you don't do it. This is how you don't do it, guys. Amen? Don't be like the hypocrites, and don't be like the pagans. Don't pray thinking your words are being heard because of what you do. So that brings me to my first point. Your prayers start with our Father. This is essential. I'm going to start with the word R. R. As a Western society, we are fiercely independent. Oh, we pride ourselves in our independence. And we'll go, the group is doing it wrong. I'm going to go do it right. I'll show you. And we just love that independence about us. We want to do it by ourselves. And Jesus is stopping that right there. He's saying, listen, guys, Christianity is communal. Being a Christian is being part of a community. Now, being part of a community is different than being part of a social club. Being part of a social club, you pay your dues. I joined a social club yesterday. $25. They get my $25. I get to participate in whatever they give me, which is fun. We have very clear definitions of what's expected. If I were to come over there and they say, you can't do it, I'm like, I paid my $25. Yes, I can. We have a very clear understanding of our relationship. God's saying, that's not what we're talking about, guys. Remember, that's pagan. That's pagan. We're part of a community. And when you're part of a community, when something happens to one person, in some way, it does affect you. And if it doesn't affect you, you're not part of the community. You've kind of isolated yourself from that part of the community. So I'll give you a little example. My wife is not here right now. She's away with my daughter in South Carolina. So I'm in bed alone, which is fine. There's not a problem with that. But the dog wakes up. Dog's running around. And you know, we're community, me and this dog now. It used to be my wife. Like, honey, your dog. At 2 a.m., it's her dog. I get up, and the dog's issues are my issues. Yep. We're community. I get up, we go downstairs. I thought the dog needed to go out. It fell asleep on the couch. I sat there going, what is wrong with you? I think, and somebody pointed this out this morning, I think the dog misses Lisa. Yeah, she was looking for Lisa. Where's Lisa? She's Lisa's dog. And so she's running around, and then she just sits there sad. So many of us skip church, skip the community at a whim, thinking it doesn't affect anyone else, thinking that you not being here doesn't affect someone else. I can't tell you the number of people that come up to me and go, where's this person? Even as I was walking down the aisle getting ready for the lesson, somebody pulls me aside and says, is Lisa okay? She's not here. And I told her. But when you're not here, it affects the rest of us. Now, the problem is we're so self-consumed. We're always thinking about ourselves. We don't see how much we affect others. But you do. You do. Your absence here, I'm not saying you need to come to everything. But I'm saying that not coming should be something we take seriously and that we ponder seriously. Amen. Why? Because this is where prayer starts. Our Father. So we want to play church? Fine. That's a different story. This doesn't apply to you. If we want to be the community of Christ, the light on the hill, this means a lot. It means our Father, all of ours. We are community. When my son and daughter were little, all of the people would come over, people in the church, and I wouldn't let them call them by their first name. And up north, it's common for children to call people by their first name, which is what they do up there. But I wouldn't let it. I'm Indian. Not going to happen. I said, you know, this brother, you can call him uncle. And my son would come up to me. He goes, Dad, he's white. I'm like, that's very astute. He goes, he's not really your brother. I go, hold on. I go, who's my spiritual father? God. When he got baptized, who's his spiritual father? God. What does that make the two of us? Brothers, you better be calling him uncle. Because he is your spiritual uncle. At the end of time, in a million years, he's going to be more your uncle than anyone else. So let's live it right now. This is truth. We are community. We are family. We fight for it. And Jesus says, you want to pray like the hypocrites and pagans? That's fine. And that's how you become a hypocrite, by the way. It becomes more important about your position in the community and how other people see you in the community and the esteem that you get from the community. And God says, no. We're family. We're family. Let's be family. So in order to learn to pray properly, we have to get the mindset that this is communal and not individual. Okay, so what else does he say? So that's the R. Then he says, Father. This is important. This is, I think, vital. And before he goes on to teach about requesting things from God, thanking God for stuff, before he goes on to that, he gives us an identity. He says, you are a son or daughter if you've been baptized in Christ. If you've made Jesus Lord, then you are his son or daughter. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Isn't that cool? Now, being a son or daughter, do you earn that?
No.
Not at all. Being a son or daughter, what is that really? It's a status. It's a position. I went to an adoption ceremony. The judge hits the thing with his little hammer and says, you are now officially a, I won't say the last name. And from that moment on, that young boy was part of this family. And you could not distinguish the treatment of that young boy from any of the other siblings. What had changed? Did the character change of the child? Did they just suddenly become a better person? Did they start acting like the family? Not at all. All of the same issues were still there, but the status was different.
Right.
It's really important to get this on straight and on properly when you pray. So the reason it's important is because what you can ask your dad in a healthy relationship is very different than what you can ask a friend, than what you can ask somebody on the subway. Let's think about it. If you're on the subway, there's a perfect stranger, what are you allowed to talk to them about? If I was sitting there on the subway, somebody sits down next to me, I go, hey, what's your social security number? What would they do? They'd get up and go somewhere else. But the other day, I was with my wife, I go, hun, real quick, what's your social security number? She shared it with me without thinking about it. Why? It was because of the nature of our relationship. See, when you are in a community, when you are in a personal relationship with God, it becomes very different than when you are in a consumer relationship with God, which is what the pagans were.
Right.
Jesus is saying, when you pray the Christian way, when you pray as a follower of mine, you must understand the basis of God listening to you. He's not listening to you because you're really good looking. He's not listening to you because you are a certain height, or that you are a certain grade, or that you are a certain color, or that you are a certain intellect. Remember, being his child, it's a status. It's a position. You didn't earn it. You are his child. In Romans chapter 8, listen to this. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." What is this saying? What is this saying? When you are his son, when you are his daughter, you have access to him that the rest of the world doesn't have. There's this fantastic picture of John F. Kennedy, I believe, and the president is sitting there at the desk, and he is talking to these world leaders. These world leaders are standing at attention; they won't move, and so you get the front angle first, and he's very serious. Then the camera goes to the back, and his son is at his feet playing with blocks and a train. You're playing with blocks and a train at the feet of God. The rest of the world stands at attention because they have to earn their way as they see it. You are his child. He looks at you and he smiles. He looks at you, and when you hurt, he holds you. He looks at you and he's actually more your father when you're a mess than when life is going really well for you. In order to pray as a Christian, you must remember why he's listening to you, why he's hearing you. He's hearing you not because of how good you are. And think about it. There are times where I have sinned and I'm like, I can't pray. I can't pray. God's not going to listen to this mess. God, Jesus, is teaching me. He's like, Saj, it was never your good deeds that had my ear. It was always your adoption into my family. Our Father. In order to pray properly as Christians, we must grasp community and we must grasp position, who we are. We are his children. Okay, let's keep going in the Lord's Prayer. I do want to clarify something. Do I have time? I do have time. I want to clarify something. A lot of people, and this is a modern thought that has come out in time right now, is we're all God's children. God loves all of us. Now, I want to say this. He loves all of us, and he wants all of us to be saved. But we are not all his children. We are all his creation. To be his child, you have to choose to be in his family. He has carpeted the way for you. He has opened all the doors. He has made all the bridges. Jesus has died on the cross. You have to accept him as Lord of your life.
Right.
You have to be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins. The wall falls down and you are with him. And so let us not allow the world's slight alteration of good ideas mess us up. Because when it does, when we're all God's children, well, we have no reason to have any conversation about Christ with anybody.
Amen, bro.
But if we understand we're all God's creation, and I just happened to get adopted in this amazing family, I want to share this because this adoption is open to everybody. Please come. It changes, doesn't it? It changes things. So I just want to clear that up. I want to make sure that that's understood. It doesn't mean that if you're not a Christian, he's not listening to you. You're in his creation. He's going to listen. He's going to hear. But there is a special superpower that his children have. You are playing at his feet, whereas the world is having to earn their way in their own minds. They don't have to, but that's what they do. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. As we turn there, the second part of our the prayer here is, our Father in heaven. Okay. Now, I'm relatively new here, and I was really struggling with whether to preach this part or not. But this part came about in the scripture that we're studying, so I'm going to preach it. And I'm not looking to offend, but I'm also not looking to hold back, especially when it comes to God's word. And this is what I'd ask. If there are challenges that you see in scripture, I'd ask that you come and talk to me about it. Not to live in resentment or bitterness or anger with the bald Indian by yourself. Come to me. I'll listen. I'll hear you. But this is an important, important piece of being able to pray like a Christian. Our Father, community, and our position in his family, his children. But it then goes on to something else. Where is our Father? In heaven. What this does right away, is it teaches us our citizenship. It teaches us where we come from. So when you adopt someone into your family, you're going to be from where they're from. You know, I've got a mom and dad. I was brought up in the United States of America. My mom and dad, Indian as Indian gets. And so guess what I've discovered over time? I'm pretty Indian too. I don't even know how. Not even sure how that happened. But I'm pretty Indian as well. And I've been getting more and more in touch with how Indian I am as I've been married to an American. She's like, you're weird. I'm like, I know. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And it's things I can't control. It's things I don't even grasp. But it's very Indian. When we're adopted into God's family, he's from somewhere. And now so are you. Philippians chapter 3. Let's read it. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, we're going to read 15 through 20. It says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too should will make clear to you. That too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For I have... Am I reading the right... I am. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop right there. Our Father, who art in heaven. And so Jesus is wanting to know that we are a community. We need to grasp that as we pray. We need to grasp that our position in the family, we are his sons and daughters. And then we need to grasp where we're from. We're from heaven. And heaven is going to be coming down for us. This is important because this world is so seductive. This world wants your heart. It wants your soul. It's going to twist things and pull you in. The Bible calls that idolatry, the things that we adopt. It's going to want you there. And if you can't remember where you're from and where you're going to start praying things like a pagan or like a hypocrite. And so where are we from? Where are we going? Heaven. How does this change things? How does this change things? The rules in heaven are different than the rules in the world, right? The rules in the world. I'm going to give you another example of my driving. So I was driving, and I'm really trying to stay the speed limit. And so I'm driving my minivan, which has my phone number on it, by the way, now, because I'm trying to sell it, which is not a good thing. Take the phone number off. But I'm driving my van, and this guy comes right up behind me. Right up behind me. And he's swerving right or left. I just want to pull over so he can pass me by. He's so angry. It's visceral. What do you think that started to do to me? The worldly Sajin, what did it do?
Get you angry.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to hit the brake. More than anything. I wanted to hit that brake, slow down to 10 miles an hour, and just go there. And I'm like, Sajin, no. Capture the thought. Capture the thought. Event. Trigger. Capture the thought. And I thought, okay, he's in a hurry. He's got a pregnant woman right next to him who's about to deliver. Focus on the pregnant woman that needs that baby in the hospital. Focus on it. I look up, no pregnant woman. It's just him going. And the world was tempting me. Respond, Sajin. He can't treat you like that. How dare he? And then I remember my citizenship. Because the rules in heaven are different than the rules on earth. The rules in heaven state, love your enemy. And I'm like, I'm loving you. I love you so much. My heart took a while to change, but I can say I remained righteous. And when he zipped by me, I like smiled and just let him go. And as he took off, I was able to let it go. He did not enslave my mind, because in the past I would have thought about stopping and getting out and having a conversation. That would have gone well. You have these fantasies about what you're going to do. He passed me, moved on, and I moved on with my life. I obeyed the rules of heaven. Amen. And I watched my life be changed. That's a little example. We all have triggers. And we allow the world to determine, we allow our citizenship or this world to determine our thoughts, and we follow it blindly. We hate, we resent, we hold captive people in prisons, in our minds. They rent space for nothing up there. And the only one who's really paying is you. I'd ask that when we learn to pray, we learn to remember we're community. We learn to remember we are sons and daughters, so we have special access no matter how bad a mess you are. And then we learn that there are rules that God gives us that are different than the rules in the world. Our citizenship is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so how can we know that this is true? How can we know that all of this is happening? We know this because Jesus, on the cross, cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? What does he not say there? Our Father. He forfeited that on the cross. That wall of sin that separates his creation came between him and his Father for the first time, and he could not say it. That sin is yours. That sin is ours as a community. He put it on his shoulders. He bore it so that you and I, from this day forward, can say, Our Father. Who art in heaven. We can remember we are a community. We can remember and really believe he is our, that we are his sons and daughters, and we can recall our citizenship. This is unique to the world. No other religion does this. Other religions will say, throw a coin into the well and say a prayer, and that prayer will come true. Statistically, it might. Other religions will say, be a good person, and God will hear you. Possibly, you are his creation. As his son and daughter, though, he absolutely hears you. And he walks with you. He goes with you, and you can be assured of that because he gave up the right to call him his father for that time on the cross that he bore our sins. I have a challenge for the church, because we want to study the scriptures, but then we want to go live it, right? And this is what I'd ask the church to do. I'd ask the church to make a list. Make a list of the people that you want to pray for in your world. The list doesn't need to be extensive. It doesn't need to be huge. I'm just asking, we're taking baby steps here. Make a list. The list that I use is the Northview directory, which, by the way, if you could put your picture on there, it would really help. Because some of you, in my mind, are still photos will be arriving soon. But make a list, and this is what I want you to do. When you make that list, every day in your quiet time, I want you to pick a scripture. And I want you to look at that scripture, and I want you to pray that scripture for the people on your list, individually. So, for the sake of example, I want to do this for us, so that we can have an example of what that looks like. Can I do that real quick? Can we as a family pray together, as a community, over somebody? So, if you could come on. Guys, this is Kobe. Give him a hand. So Kobe is the first person on my list, by the way. He's the first person in the directory. And we're going to pray for him as a family. And we're going to do it this way. I've already picked out a scripture. You can pick out a scripture however you want to. And it can be, you have a Bible app, it'll send you a scripture, a daily scripture. But believe it or not, almost any scripture works except some in Leviticus. That's you want to stay away from. But pick a good one. Pick a good one. Pick an easy one in the beginning. All right? So I'm going to pray for him, Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 13. All right? All right, and I want us all to do it together. So this is the Word of God informing and guiding our prayers for the people that we love and that are around us. Okay, let's bow our heads. I place my hands. I do the laying of hands things. I like that a lot. You'll find me doing it all the time. Lay your hands on the list. Lay your hands on the person. Let's bow our heads. Father, it is a gift to remember we're community. That, Father, the things that happen in my life and in others, they're intertwined. I'm grateful that you're my dad. I'm grateful I don't have to earn the right to speak to you. I'm grateful that you sit on the edge of your seat waiting for your son to say something, hoping I will. I'm sorry for the times I don't, and I'm grateful for this time that we as a church get to. I want to pray for my brother Kobe. Father, I pray that the peace of Christ will rule in his heart. That, Father, in all of his comings and goings, that peace will be there. That anxiety will be bound up and cast out. I pray that, Father, that he be thankful today. Amen. That, Lord, that in the midst of this craziness in this world, that he sees something to be thankful for. My prayer, Father, for Kobe, is that the message of Christ
will dwell deeply with him. And that, Father, he will be able to admonish others with wisdom and with song as he sings here and through the Spirit, Lord. And I pray that, Father, that again, gratitude can lead his heart. And Father, I pray that whatever he does, in word or deed, whether it's at work, at home, the thousands of decisions he's going to make today, I pray that, Father, he does it all in your name, giving thanks to you. Lord, I thank you for my brother Kobe, and I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Give Kobe a hand. So some of you are like, Saj, I don't got that kind of time. Dude, that was one person. I've got like 20 people on my list. Then just pray the first part. Let the peace of Christ rule in Kobe's heart today, Father, as he's at work. Please let the peace of Christ rule in the heart of my son and my daughter as they go about their classes. I pray the peace of Christ rules in Brad's heart as he works and goes about his life. I pray as Jim and Helen are in Boston that the peace of Christ will rule in their hearts. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. But I believe as we do it, as we make it a part of our lives, things can change and change in some amazing ways. I want to have a question and answer time after this. I'll be meeting with people in one of the rooms back here at 11:45. If you have questions about prayer, I'd like to answer them. Now, this is what I ask of you. I don't have all the answers, and I'll be very honest. When I don't, I'll go, I don't know. But it'll be a time where we can chat and we can have a conversation about prayer, and perhaps we can leave this time a little richer with God and with him walking and working amongst us. Thank you very much.